Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keys are here with you on this Monday morning. Titans lose 34-10 to Buffalo. They fall to 1-5 on the season. And to help us talk a little bit more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Corey Curtis from News 2. Corey, good morning. How are you?
I am delightful. Congratulations as our teams went undefeated once again this weekend.
That is true. No game for the Bears. Packers get the dub. Lions get the dub.
NFC North, greatest division of all time.
Apparently so.
Yeah, not just this year, ever.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty darn good. There's no doubt about that. What is not pretty darn good, Corey Curtis, are the Tennessee Titans. They are now 1-5. Mason Rudolph at quarterback yesterday, and they mustered up 10 points of offense in the first half. So, for those who thought it was just Will Levis holding them back, it is not. What did you make overall of the performance? And specifically, and we've been talking about this throughout the show today, they are so bad in the second half and have been for multiple years and multiple coaching staffs now. What do you make of that? Like, how do you begin to try to explain how bad it's been in the second half for this team?
Well, first off, my initial impressions is they looked exactly the same with Mason Rudolph as they did with Will Levis. They had some first half efficiency and then no second half efficiency. I mean, they've had good drives with Will Levis in the first half of games. They just have not been able to continue them. And by the way, Mason Rudolph made plays in that game that if Will Levis had done them, people would have been freaking out. The almost pick to Epenesa, the drop snap, the fling forward in the fourth quarter. If Will Levis did those things, people would be out of their mind, saying, oh my God, he hasn't learned anything. So let's just say that. And I know people are going to disagree with me. And there were aspects of Mason Rudolph that looked calmer in the pocket and more on time. I get all that. But it largely looked very much the same. I think the second half point is what I was thinking about before this call started. And I think it's very important because this is the same theme we see over and over and over again. Competitive first half, whitewashed the second half. I mean, have they been winning at four of these games at halftime?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah. I mean, you've got to win some of those games. You've got to win some of those games. And it's not just the offense that fails in the second half. It's the defense. The defense was only on the field, I believe, for 10 minutes in the first half.
I think you're right.
It was low. You get a couple quick three and outs right away. You get some long drives of your own. Yeah.
They were not on the field long in the first half. So there's no reason to be tired, no reason to be worn out. No, you know, look, I know the fourth and two didn't go their way and it was a questionable decision, but you know, they didn't get the quick turnaround, on the stop and, you know, they just let them go right down the field. And so, you know, on both sides of the ball, they're not getting it done in the second half of games. And it is a real concern about what is happening. You know, you could say, you know, the offensive line has efficiency in the first half and then in the second half because they don't seem to be able to run the ball in the second half like they are usually in the first half of games. And you know, that's when, you know, you're winning going into the second half. You know, you want to establish that, make the game shorter and you know, tack on more points. And they're unable, you know, to do that. So I think it starts up front, but the question is why are they unable to continue? And I think you know, people are going to point to second half adjustments. And when you talk about coaches saying, you know, can you adjust on the fly? We're not seeing, and I am not smart enough to tell you what these adjustments should be, but evidently they are not happening because we're seeing the same thing on a consistent basis.
Okay, so what's the concern level with Brian Callahan? Look, I think some will understandably make a lot, but maybe too much to me, of the fourth down, go for it. I didn't like it. Certainly didn't like the play call. It totally flipped on them. I think the Bills were going to do what they did to some extent anyway, but what's the concern level just with Brian Callahan and his command of this whole thing right now?
Well, I agree with you. I would not have gone for it, but I understand why he did. And I don't particularly love the play call, especially after getting shoved back on third and one. But again, I understand why he did it, trying to get something going in the second half of the game. You know, look, like I said, it's, you know, I like Brian Callahan. I like him a lot. But it's not happening right now. And, you know, they gave up 34 unanswered points. And there has to be concern there. I mean, that's a good football team you just played against. But this is the National Football League. And you don't give up 34 unanswered points. You know, you're 1-5. You've lost games that you shouldn't lose, that you've been in position to win. So, you know, I think all criticism is largely fair, you know, at this point. And, you know, this is, you know, part of being a new head coach is generally you're a new head coach for a reason. You're taking over a bad football team.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and so there are challenges, and it doesn't take a lot in this league to flip. I mean, we've seen it over and over again, you know, where teams are bad. I mean, look at the Lions. What were the Lions' first year under Dan Campbell?
Not very good.
Yeah,
they came on at the end of, I think, of his first year, but not very good.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but I mean, it was like 0-11 to start or something like that.
Right.
And we were all like, this guy's a raging lunatic who drinks nothing but caffeine all day. He's way out of his mind, and he's never going to make it.
He's actually going to have to work at Applebee's?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, as you know, he was full of bluster and bravado, and that's all it looked like for 11 games. But obviously, you know, Dan Campbell got it figured out. Dan Campbell also has good players. You know, he's got one of the best offensive lines in the league. I hate to say they stumbled upon Amon-Ra St. Brown, but they got him, what, round 4 or 5?
Yeah, their drafting has been insane.
Yes. When you draft well, you win games. It's not a mystery. And they've coached Jared Goff extremely well. And I think, you know, that, you know. But so my point is you figure it out. And he's going to have to figure it out, or it's going to get ugly, because he's got to give his players a reason to believe, and that is the big mission for them right now, is giving the players a reason to believe that this staff can lead them to a turnaround.
Can you think of a more disastrous scenario at right tackle than the one the Titans have right now between Jalen Duncan, Nicholas Petitfrere, and Leroy Watson?
Well, you mean they could put the three of us out there?
They could.
But that's about it. And the bad part is, and we're going to sound like a broken record here, and, you know, I know Jared's been banging this drum forever, but he's not wrong. You know, we've all been saying they needed to bring in a veteran to compete at that position, you know, to give themselves an out if the other guys all failed. And they have all failed. I mean, when they marched Jalen Duncan out there yesterday, I mean, you could have picked about 800 emojis for my reaction.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, this is going to be a long day. I mean, it's going to be a long – I mean, Greg Russo lived in the Titans' backfield yesterday, lived there. And that was the only 4 plays against Jalen Duncan. And how does an offensive lineman pull his hamstring?
That's another question. I don't know that I've ever seen that. Yeah, you don't see that one too often, do you?
No. Most of them don't even have hamstrings. I mean, come on. And, you know – they've had time. There are 31 other practice squads out there that have offensive linemen on there, all right? And I'm not just saying to just go sign somebody, but you've got a scouting department. You've looked at other players. You've got it. There's got to be somebody out there that you think has a pulse that you want to take a look at, because it can't be worse than what you're marching out there. It is a revolving door over there. And I don't mean by the players in the position. I mean they're blocking. Okay? Guys just whiz right by them. It is not good enough. It's not combative enough. It's not violent enough. All right? Find someone with some physicality to them. Find someone with some violence to them. And go. Pull Dave Stewart out of retirement and have him just bludgeon somebody.
Now we're talking.
So with Levis, you know, there's going to be conversation about the whole way it went down, Corey. But to me, like, I would just not even mess with him in Detroit. You get him out there this week, so, but if it's not like 100%, yep, it is. There is no discomfort whatsoever. I'm just going to let Rudolph handle it, but then I'm giving it back to him when it is 100%. Agree or disagree?
Exactly. No, I look, wait for him to be 100%. You know, I look, Ryan Callahan's a lot of things. I don't think he's a liar. So I think his explanation for what happened is entirely believable and plausible. That doesn't mean that they should have considered not playing him against the Colts and taking more time to get him healthy. But I understand what happened. But, you know, you are where you are right now. And so there's no reason to march him out there at a situation where you could be right back where you are now, where overuse of a hurt joint is just going to set him back. You know, get him back and healthy. I know you can't say our season is over, but let's be realistic. The season is over.
Yeah.
And you know, see what he can do when healthy. Because this team has to figure out a way to push the ball down the field. Whether that be the game plan or whether it be the coach's decision, they need the ability to, I mean, not just complete passes downfield like 25, 30 yards downfield, but intermediate routes. Because right now, if it's not like a bubble screen or a slip screen or a five-yard stop, they're not completing a whole heck of a lot. And so they've got to figure out a way to do that, and they need him and his arm healthy to try to find a way to make some of those plays. I mean, they are spending almost $50 million on three guys that they, for whatever reason, can't get the football to.
Yeah, it's truly mystifying. Corey, great stuff as always. Thanks for taking time to be with us. And we will talk to you next week after what I'm sure will be a thrilling Titans and Lions game coming up on Sunday.
No, thank you. I'm sure it's going to be a barn burner, an absolute barn burner.
Yeah, I'm sure that it
can
is.
Can I ask you guys a Vols question real
Please
quick?
Please do.
So huge win, obviously, for them. If they win out except losing to Georgia, is that still good enough to get them in the playoffs?
I think it is, but I think it's going to be close. Like they really need, and we talked about this earlier, they need Alabama to win out and to make that win look as good as possible. Problem is, if that happens, Alabama's also going to be 10-2, and that will include a win against Georgia and a win on the road at LSU. So it could get pretty interesting at 10-2.
I think they'd get in. I would bet they'd get in. I mean, I would not bet a lot, though, because, like, who knows? There's so many other teams that, you know, is Indiana go 11-1?
Yeah.
You know, you can go down the list. But it'll be fascinating.
They don't have – I mean, Alabama's their best win.
Yeah.
I mean, Oklahoma's terrible. And this is not, you know, your dad or your brothers or your uncles or your sisters, Florida. Well, they're not.
It's a pretty good example of why you can't drop a game to Arkansas. I mean,
I guess that's my whole point, is the rest of your resume, you know, while you've put up points and you've won games, you don't have a lot of marquee wins on there.
I think some of it also depends on how they look. Like, if their offense comes alive now and they figured something out in the second half, I think that makes it a little bit different.
Because they will look at all that stuff, yes.
I think the quarterback has got to step up his play. He's definitely got to be more consistent. And if he steps up his play, I think they can beat a lot of people.
Corey, thank you, sir. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys.
Corey Curtis from News 2, our guest, joins us every Monday morning at 8 o'clock. Some interesting thoughts from Corey on the Titans there. We'll get back into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.